Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, I am bringing on a new guest to the show. His name is Christopher Yule. He is the founder and head trader at 10 Minute Stock Trader. You can search for Christopher's website. You can also follow him on YouTube. I will post a link to some more of his trading website for all of you to follow along with. Chris, from what I understand, you are more of a macro guy when it comes to looking at the markets. You want to analyze some of the news that could drive markets. And hey, fair enough, this year was driven by a lot of headlines that a lot of people just could not have predicted. But as we head into next year, there are a few obviously main overarching themes that we do need to understand or at least pay close attention to. The first one being vaccine developments. We're getting initial vaccine shipments. Some people have already started receiving the vaccine. Look, the fact of the matter is this vaccine is going to take a long time to roll out. And, well, we don't even know how it's all going to work. But give us a couple insights on what you think is important to watch when it comes to vaccine developments and someone who's looking at investing in these markets.
Well, Corey, I appreciate you and the time to speak with your audience. It's really great to go out. I usually just stick to my own podcast. It's called the How to Trade Stocks and Options Podcast. And like you were saying, it is on YouTube. We've just crossed over, I think it's 420 episodes. And one of the things that we talk about on there is certainly a lot of the macro factors that are going on. And I mean, the vaccine has been on everyone's top list, right? It's looking at the broad picture. 2020 got slammed right around the time everyone was going on spring break with this potentially life-threatening virus that everyone, you know, had to be stuck indoors, and we're still feeling the ripple effects. And in all honesty, I think we have a whole lot more ripple effects to come. But for 2021, you know, if there is widespread adoption of the vaccine, because then that's a really a big if too, because you've got a lot of people, I'll tell you personally, myself included, who think, you know what, how can we have a legitimate vaccine developed in 4 to 6 months or similar time frame that works on something that's brand new when we could have cured cancer or we could have cured HIV or something like that? We've got these huge, big companies that had put all of their focus onto this one thing. And now that this is there, is everyone going to be taking it, right? If we do get the vaccine, what does that look like as far as the marketplace for everyone to go out there and actually take the vaccine? Who's going to be taking it? Why are they going to be taking it? Do they feel the trust in it, or do they feel an obligation because of the politics that are pushing the vaccine? So that's an interesting thing to me. Right now, you've got the big pharma companies who are actually pushing this vaccine that have been on an absolute tear lately because of it. And rightfully so. I mean, when the Trump administration is buying 100 million doses of a vaccine, that's going to help the bottom line a little bit. And with that being said, you know, those kind of stocks may be an interesting play over the next 4 to 6 months or so as the vaccine rolls out, as the purchases of those, the mass huge quantities are being made. And, you know, potentially if we're going to be vaccinating 7 billion people, that's a hell of a lot of vaccines we've got to find. So that may be an interesting sector in the healthcare sector. But then also, I have been keeping my eye on, you know, we talked about election, we talked about vaccines. I don't know if you've come in across this, but I've had some episodes on my YouTube channel that actually have been just squashed because talking about vaccines and Trump administration, maybe, you know, voter fraud and things like that. But, you know, looking at that front of it, you know, there was a lot going on. And now we've got senators, we've got politicians all over the place who are calling for some sort of big tech reform. And you look at any stock chart of the FANG stocks, you know, you've got Facebook, Apple, Amazon, Netflix, Google. They've been on a real tear lately, especially with the coronavirus. You know, the availability for all of the, like take my household, for example. You know, my wife, as soon as we got stuck at home, decided that every dollar she makes has to go to Amazon, right? Instead of going to local businesses or mom and pop shops like that, you're seeing these big stocks that were already big are now becoming, you know, trillion, potentially multi-trillion dollar companies. And then you've got all the back end of it where people are really hurting on the other side. But then that leads me to my thought of the big tech breakup. And that's where politicians are really starting to step up and look at, you know what, we had literal censorship on Twitter. When the Hunter Biden story broke, I believe it was the New York Times tried to break the story, and Twitter banned their account completely for several weeks. And now politicians are looking at it like, we've been allowing big tech to do basically whatever they wanted for the last decade or so. And now they may have just crossed the line. So as an investor, I'm looking at big tech saying, you know what, maybe this darling of all portfolios out there may turn out to be the opposite if big tech regulations start coming down.
So then this concept of, yes, regulating big tech, in all fairness, we've heard rumors of this for years, and some big tech companies have actually garnered some pretty big fines, more outside of the U.S., but it is this argument, right? Is big tech going to get broken up? What kind of breakup does that look like? It's hard to predict, but what news events, what do you think will lead us to some insights into if big tech gets broken up? Because if they do, which I do still think is a bit of a long shot, that would cause some pretty serious shockwaves in the markets because of how big tech is in the broad averages.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, when you look at, gosh, I don't know it off the top of my head, but I know that the majority of gains have been made industry-wide, but market-wide because of the gains in those stocks. I wish I had that stat off the top of my head, but I know it's something monumentally weighted towards those stocks. And with that being said, when we start seeing, I really think it's a win. I don't think it's an if. I think when we see the lawmakers start looking at big tech and saying, you've got to change your platforms, things are broken. And then the next thing you know, they're no longer going to be the darlings, right? I couldn't imagine Netflix, you know, you look at any chart of Netflix, it's basically a vertical line up, continuing on a vertical line up when regulators are looking at, you know what, maybe this is not where people should be focusing, but we should be putting more power into the hands of the individuals, more power back into the communities versus funneling all of our funds into these big tech stocks. So while I'm certainly not a short by any means, but it's something that is on my radar, and especially because it seems like any kind of political agenda right now is getting a lot more widespread attention than it really may have used to, which is good and bad, right? You've got all these people who are a lot more involved in political discussions these days than they were maybe a year ago. But now they're also going to be trading those with their dollars. And you look at stocks like, or not stocks, but brokers like Robinhood, where whenever we got our stimulus money earlier in the year, they exploded. They went from about 10 million subscribers in Robinhood to about, I think it was 14 or 15 million at its peak. And it just the sheer comprehension of going from 10 to 15 is a giant number. And then all of these investors, do you know where they're looking? They're looking at those big name stocks, right? So that creates a more volatile environment. And to me, that's something that if you love volatility, may be a great play. But if you prefer a slower roller coaster ride, I guess you could say, that's going to start to be winding off my radar in that case.
Yeah, fair enough. Now, back to this whole vaccine development, there's really a push and pull here between the vaccine, how it's rolling out, any potential shocks that could come to the people taking the vaccine. That could obviously be bad for the market. But there's still this threat of further lockdowns, which last time we went into more lockdowns, markets really got beaten up. This time, it seems like governments, or at least cities and states, are resisting a little bit more going into full lockdown. Really depends where you look. But when they have gone into lockdown in a couple different states, it hasn't had the same shock to the market that it did earlier on this year. Where's the balance here? Understanding that COVID cases are still growing, but we do have potentially that light at the end of the tunnel when it comes to the vaccine.
You know, I talked to a guest on my podcast who was from Paris, and he was telling me that in Paris, they are allowed to get out for 1 hour a day, and they can stay within 1 kilometer of their dwelling. And I'm thinking to myself, I could not imagine what it would be like to have that sort of tyranny locking me down, locking my spending dollars down, locking my everything into a 1 kilometer zone. And I mean, let's say the only way that they remove that is if somebody gets the vaccine. And so, hey, look, if you ever want to go visit your family again, you got to get vaccine. We're going to stop you at the border of your 1 kilometer zone and say, you can't leave. But that'd never fly in America. No way. But then on the other end, I'd heard a stat about London where they had a lockdown. And then I think it was 2 weeks later or something like that, the actual like infection rate was higher than at the beginning of the lockdown. And I mean, it's counterintuitive. Like, how in the world can we have more infections at the end of our lockdown than at the beginning? So in my opinion, something's broken. Something in the system is broken. And there is an absolute disconnect. And this is something that I've been scratching my head on for months now, seeing the market hit basically a straight down move in March and then almost like a V-shaped recovery since then. We've had a couple blips along the way, but there is absolutely a disconnect. And, you know, some people would say that the Fed's printing money and, you know, it's causing this inflation and this bubble, et cetera. I don't know. I am not one to put a blame and say, you know, I'm going to fight a trend. But I will say that the markets right now are absolutely disconnected. And that does concern me. I know personally, I have lightened up my investment load significantly since before the elections and have yet to really fully get back in because there was election uncertainty. And now we've got potential virus uncertainty. And, you know, Corey, there's so many things up in the air that is so much cause for concern. And at the end of the day, where am I putting my money right now? Right now, I'm spending a lot in cash. And I'm really okay with that because for me, this market, we're walking on eggshells. And I don't know when we're going to find some solid, stable ground. But when we're walking on eggshells, I'm not putting my money at risk in that way.
Yeah, fair enough. I completely understand that little bit of hesitancy when it comes to the markets, just because the markets have run so much. Even commodities have run so much, all on the back of its hope that we're going to get back to normal. But remember, the economy was kind of struggling even before COVID hit. So who knows? Maybe it was that little short-term reset that we needed, or maybe, more than likely, it'll still be with us for quite a while. Chris, wrap us up with a free trading guide that you are offering to all of our listeners, please.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, Corey. I appreciate the time to talk about it. So, I've been trading for well over a decade now, and one of the things that I came across was what I called my triple stock profit system. And your listeners can get it over at triplestockprofits.com. It's a very simple way to profit three different ways on owning one stock. It sounds absolutely ridiculous. I understand, total clickbait, but when you see the simple situation that it actually entails, it's actually pretty neat.
All right, Chris, appreciate your time today. I hope you have a great rest of your week and a great holiday season.
Corey, thanks for having me on. It was a pleasure.